KBOOs, loud and proud. Become a member during our KBOOs Out Loud fall membership drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots, independent, radically made, community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give and help us reach our $45,000 goal. Thank you.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the 12th Annual Montevilla Jazz Festival, celebrating Portland jazz in a three-day village-style festival, August 29th through 31st, with local artists across 26 concerts in five venues in and around East Portland's Montevilla neighborhood. Info and jazz adventure passes at montevillajazz.org.
Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we're talking about cartooning and animation in the Pacific Northwest. Later in the show, I'll be joined by animation director Bill Plimpton. But first, let's talk with a couple of guests who have been working tirelessly to open a museum dedicated to cartoon art here in Portland. Mike Rosen is a writer, comics editor, and board chair at the Northwest Museum of Cartoon Arts. And Farrell Dalrymple is an award-winning cartoonist and writer whose books include Pop Gun War and The Wrenchies. Mike, Farrell, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Mike, I mentioned that you're the board chair at the Northwest Museum of Cartoon Arts. We've had you on the show before, and you've been working for years now to bring a cartoon art museum to Portland. You've had events and fundraisers and pop-ups. What's different about this event that's coming up in November, December?
Well, this is a serious and significant step towards a brick and mortar museum. We've said that the pop-up is a proof of concept, and it has three elements. One, showing that the community will invest in the startup of the museum through a GoFundMe. That will get us started, pay some of our rent, and then we hope that through the shop and through walk-in traffic, we can pay for ourselves. The second component is to show that we can actually run a museum, that we're capable of managing that. And then the third component is demand in the community, showing that we have a steady flow of people willing to come in and view, you know, the art that we're going to be presenting. So if all that works, we have something that we can go to investors with that's much more tangible than an idea.
So there are museums of comic and cartoon art in San Francisco, in New York City, Columbus, Ohio, and my one-time hometown of Brussels, Belgium. What have you learned from the other successful museums that you're going to bring to NW MoCA?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are being mentored by the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco. I think they've been around for almost 30 years. They started really small, built up into a really nice brick and mortar space that I think is on Fisherman's Wharf now. We've worked with Summerlee Cashier, who's the director of the museum, but mostly Andrew Farrago, who's the curator. And Andrew's got an incredible resume. He's not only the curator, but he's written several books on specific cartoons, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. These are compendiums, Harley Quinn, Batman. What we've learned from them is really curation advice, and then what are the components of funding a museum? A third of the funding comes from traffic through the door. Another third comes from sponsorships, whether they're individuals or corporations or companies. And then the other third comes from events like classes, evening events, membership. And so those are the things we're going to be working on in the shop to make sure that we can stay viable. I mean, classes especially, I think, will have a big draw.
So you're planning exhibitions. You're going to have lots of original art on the wall, but it's not just about exhibitions. It's not just about showing off art. You've got a lot of plans for the space. So you've
Right.
got, you mentioned a gift shop, but you're planning to have a classroom. You're planning to have artist studio. What all will be happening?
So we've called it a living space. We really want to have a connection to the art community during the day. So we have a really nice space that looks out over the museum that's glass frontage, and we'll have at least one drawing table in there. We're going to invite artists to come in, have coffee, hang out, and people can see them working and probably interact with them. The main space in the building is perfect for running classes. And the way the art's going to be displayed is on dividers on wheels, so we can wheel all the art out of the way and have our tables for students working. And then we'll have evening and daytime events. In the evening, we'll have seminars, we'll do drink and draw. So, we want it to be a very active space. We want to be a social entrepreneurial organization. We've already booked two classes. Jonathan Case is going to teach one for underprivileged kids on the art of comics. Over the winter break, he'll have 2 days for the kids. And then we're doing 2 days for Street Roots artists. They've been doing work on houselessness. And Casey McKinney is a teacher at the PSU Comic Studies program. She's really been the spearhead for this work. She did a series in Street Roots, I think it was like 2 years ago now, where students through comics presented their struggles with houselessness. She's now working on a project. Casey's going to compile a more comprehensive a book on this and do a display. They have money through RAC, and we will host them in the museum. We'll also have Crucial Comics doing a presentation in the museum on cartoonists for Palestine. We're hoping to get Joe Sacco to do a presentation on the war on Gaza, which he just won an Eisner for. So, again, adding to this living space concept, but presenting issues of social justice as well.
Now, this space that you're moving into later this year, this is downtown, and you're calling it a pop-up space. It's at 322 Northwest 8th Avenue, so close to Powell's Books and the Jewish Museum.
The Photography Museum. It's really in the museum district. The museum district is on the park blocks, divided by Burnside. It includes Oregon Historical Society, Portland Art Museum. Then on the north side of Burnside, you have the Photography Museum, the Jewish Museum, and now Northwest MoCA.
So you've got a short lease here, but you're hoping to make it more than a pop-up.
Right. The lease is actually, I think, pretty significant. It's actually an 8 month lease, but 2 months to set up. So we will run through April, and then we really want to transition into that space as our brick and mortar location. And a lot will depend on how popular we are.
The space looks really cool too. I like there's a couple of classroom type things. I guess you're going to use one for an office and then one for visiting artists too.
Right.
Everything looks like glass. It was like an old architectural firm or
It
something.
was an architectural firm. That was the last business several years ago in the building.
It feels like a nice, modern, cool looking space to have this museum in. There's a gallery area and yeah, I was really impressed with the way it looked.
One of the things that's really cool about the building is it's ADA accessible. It's got a ramp up to the exhibit spaces. It's got two bathrooms. One's an ADA bathroom. We're going to be working with the ADA community as volunteers or interns. We're working with one person who's on the autism spectrum. We're going to show the work of a Down syndrome person who's really into comics and sells his own art and t-shirts. So we really value diversity in the community and bringing in all abilities into the space.
Now the Museum of Cartoon Arts, officially it'll be opening the 1st of December, but you're going to be having a soft opening on the 1st of November?
Right. November will have very limited hours because of the Thanksgiving break. But November is a month for us to get our act together, make our mistakes, fix them. Running a shop is a new thing for me. We're partnering with Rose City Comics. They're going to order all our material, so we'll get them, you know, at the standard 50% rate. I think one of the things that I'm most excited about and fearful of is running the shop. But we have, like, Michael Rings on our board. He ran Bridge City Comics for 17 years, so we've got a lot of good support.
And you're going to have an exhibit curator, and that's Dr. Kate Kelp-Stebbins, co-director of the University of Oregon Comics Studies Program. She's a friend of the show. She helped curate the Art of the News Comics Journalism exhibition at the U of O back in 2022.
And she just did a Calvin and Hobbes exhibition. She had direct access to all of Calvin and Hobbes' strips through Bill Watterson. He's never exhibited his work. And I think the exhibit got picked up and is moving to Billy, Ireland in Columbus, Ohio, which is like the premier comics museum probably in the world.
Have you been out there, Michael?
I want to go. When we started this project, I talked to a whole bunch of people. I talked to the curator there. I mean, they have got an incredible collection. We would never reach that level of work. Our goal is to focus on work from the 80s forward, which is really the dawn of the comics cartoon art scene in the Northwest.
Yeah, the Columbus, Ohio has a lot of like famous old school cartoonists. Yeah, they have like a big Milt Caniff collection there.
Right. And those are incredibly expensive to insure and store. I mean, they've got a whole library system for that artwork. It's really a repository for the history of comics.
So what have you got Kate Kelp-Stebbins doing for you?
So she's curating. We're really happy to have her. She's on our board. And she's given us a lot of advice. I think the best advice she gave us was, think of one thing you want every visitor to get out of the museum. And what I think we want, subject to more discussion with colleagues, is every person to understand the process from the written word to the finished comic. And I envision people like Steve Lieber or Matt Wagner who does, well, I mean, in Feral, you do the same thing. You know, you start with your story, you translate that into the very rough panel.
Yeah, I do like thumbnails and then layouts. And then
thumbnails, layouts.
color it.
Penciling, coloring, lettering. We really want people to appreciate that. And we want them to appreciate that from the perspective of Pacific Northwest artists. Kate's already given us great advice, too, on accessibility, placement of the art for people in wheelchairs, translating the descriptions into Spanish. So we're really excited about the insights she provides to us.
So I also want to ask Feral. We've had you on the show before, Feral. What's your involvement in the project and what are you working on these days?
Well, the first question, what's my involvement in the project? There's a beer label through the Gigantic Brewing, and Michael asked me to draw and paint. I do stuff analog. I don't really use the computer that much, so I'm like physically coloring it with brushes and stuff. Like, I know there's like brushes in Photoshop, but it's like, yeah, I do it like paints, like real paints and things. So yeah, I'm doing that, and we talked about it, and I think we're gonna do like a, can I say like the name of the beer and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's a Kirby Crackle, so we're gonna do kind of like a Jack Kirby homage with the label. Should be pretty cool. Yeah, so that's I guess my involvement in the museum side of things, and then what I have going on, I guess, in my own career or whatever, is that I've basically just been doing my own comic, Robot Todd, that I do on my Patreon, and I've been printing physical copies of it too through Floating World Comics. It's like a local comic store. That's pretty much it, I guess.
So I wanted to just add something. One of the things we want to do with the museum and have it very active during the day, aside from just people coming in to view the gallery space. And so we will be closed Monday and Tuesdays. We'll run from Wednesday through Sunday, but the Monday and Tuesdays will be for classes and artist days. And I didn't get a chance to invite Farrell. What we would do is over a 2-hour period, maybe 20 minutes to half hour, we'd give Farrell the opportunity to talk about his work. And then we'd do a signing, and we'd pump up the merchandise that Farrell has to sell in our store. We've invited artists like Matt Wagner, Mike Allred, Brian Michael Bendis, Mark Russell. We have a long list. We're really excited about that portion of the museum. I'll to put you on the spot, I'm hoping you can make a commitment.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to. I do remember us, talking about that a little bit. But yeah, I'm all on board for doing a show and a talk and all that stuff. Yeah.
And we're going to have the beer available November 1. So the beer will be available soft opening. We're selling it at Movie Madness, Scotty's Pizza. And then we're trying to sell it at the movie theaters like Cinema 21, Clinton Street Theater, Laurelhurst. So we're exploring that.
Well, you're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Counser. And we're talking today about the Northwest Museum of Cartoon Arts, which is set to open later this year. My guests are Mike Rosen and Farrell Dalrymple. Mike, Farrell, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Now, if any listeners want to keep up with NW MoCA, where would they go for info?
They would go to our website, which is nwmoca.org. And our big coming deadline, aside from taking possession of the building, getting the keys, is a full launch of our GoFundMe campaign. And so we have to really get the website up to date for that. So that'll be done by the end of August. We do have this GoFundMe campaign. It's already up. It's sort of had a soft launch through my contacts, but go look us up at GoFundMe.com, Northwest Museum of Cartoon Arts.
All right. And Farrell, where can we find out more about your work?
I'm not really much on social media these days, but I have a Patreon, Farrell Dal. And I have a website too, FarrellDal.com, which I update, every 6 months or something. Most of it in keeping my head down. Oh, I have a book coming out too at some point later this year, I think maybe like November, December, that I did with Rick Remender. And it's like an all ages children's book called The Terrific Teacup. So check that out.
All right. In just a minute, we'll be talking with animation director Bill Plimpton. But first, we want to let you know that KBOO is in the midst of our KBOO Out Loud membership drive. You may have heard that the powers that be have succeeded in killing off the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's a serious blow for democracy and free speech, but it doesn't mean that all is lost for community radio. Yes, the billionaires would love to silence the voice of communities like ours. Taking over the public airwaves is high on the wish list of the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. But you have the power to stand against the oligarchs, and supporting KBOO Radio is a great start. There are all kinds of ways to join KBOO. On the web, you can visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. And if you prefer to go analog, we're always happy to receive a contribution in the mail. The address of the station is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. And now, let's welcome back our most frequent guest on the show. He's had a decades-long career as a cartoonist, graphic artist, filmmaker, and animation director. And his new feature film, Slide, is coming to Portland, along with the animated short, Duckville. Bill Plimpton, great to have you back on Words and Pictures.
Actually, Duckville will be the premiere, because we've been working on it successfully, and we finally nailed it, and so you're going to see the finished product.
Okay, well, let's start with that. So this is the short that will precede your feature film Slide. Tell us about Duckville. You have, it's very surreal, it's absurdist, and it has Jim Dale, your collaborator, doing voices.
Right. Jim Dale. My producer, Daniel Nyden, is good friends with Jim Dale, and he brought him in. And I never met him. I was away, but he recorded one night, did a fantastic job. He's so good.
So tell us about the story of Duckville.
I don't know where the concept came from. I just love drawing ducks. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have a little village of ducks, a duck village? And nobody wants to go there because it's so boring, because ducks are boring. And so I thought, maybe they would make up an invasion of monsters to bring the press in, you know, to get the press there. And of course, everything goes wrong, but it all turns out to be a happy ending. And it's kind of wacky film, a wacky duck film.
Okay, so it takes a dark turn, but then flips around and comes back.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. The ducks are all right.
Yes, the ducks are all right. They're in a row.
Okay, so your latest feature film is called Slide, and you did bring it around this time last year to the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. And yeah, this is your tribute to the rural Oregon that you grew up in many decades ago.
Yeah, I grew up on the Clackamas River, and it's a lot of logging trucks, a lot of logging going on above Estacada, and they always went by our house. And so I kind of grew up with this industry of lumbering. And so I thought it'd be fun to do a cowboy. I always loved cowboys. And so I want to do a cowboy film that takes place in the Woolly Mountains of Oregon. And it's partly environmental, but mostly just funny. If Mel Brooks was a cartoonist, this is what he would make. This would be a Mel Brooks film.
Well, this is heavy on the character animation slide. You like drawing really ugly people, and you just go to town in this film.
This film has probably more bad guys than any film ever. I mean, it's got, I think, 200 bad guys in it. So I love drawing bad guys. That's my weakness. There's something about an eye patch and unshaven and teeth missing and, you know, crazy hair. It's just fun to draw. So that's the inspiration for this film.
So your protagonist, he's kind of the epitome of a acid Western protagonist, you know, like the Clint Eastwood type or...
Eastwood was really my influence on this one, because he comes into town like a ghost, you know, and fixes all the bad things and then leaves like a ghost. And I thought that was a fun idea for a cowboy film, so... That's the model that I use for this character. He even looks a little bit like Clint Eastwood, actually. So I just kind of rip him off a little bit.
And he plays your instrument. He plays slide guitar.
Slide guitar. I have a lap steel. I used to have a pedal steel, but I was just didn't have the time to do that. But I do have a lap steel. Occasionally I'll play it, but I'm not very good. I was in a band for a while, and I realized that I didn't add anything to the music. So plus I'm so busy drawing these animated cartoons. It's a, you know, all day job. I get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and draw until 8 at night. And that's that's my day. So I really don't have time for music, but it's one of the most fun things I do is creating these characters and watching them move and do bad things and just crazy stuff.
Now, I wonder if you're a student of mythology, because one of the themes of Slide, a big theme of Slide, is that music is healing.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And I grew up loving country music. My dad always listened to Merle Haggard and George Jones and people like that. And so I still love that kind of music. That's why I play slide guitar. And so I wanted him to be the hero, to be a musician. And through the music, he solves all the problems, all the town's problems. And I like slow music, really sad. These songs are so sad. Everybody will be crying. But I wanted him to play very slow music, and that's his personality. He's just very, very simple guy. He doesn't talk, doesn't say anything. Just he does what needs to be done, and then he leaves. Yeah, I will give everybody who comes a sketch. I will do either a sketch of the duck or a sketch of the guy who is his slide. And I'll do it a little card. And plus, I'm going to have drawings there from The Simpsons. I do a lot of stuff for The Simpsons, as you know, and some of my classic films like How to Kiss and Your Face. I'll come by and check out my art. I got big portfolios of original art. See, nobody does this anymore. The Simpsons is all computer animation. You know, it's all digital. So you don't have any art anymore. So I'm one of the last people that is actually creating real art to make a film.
And you did play around with digital for a while. You went over to Flash Animation. It didn't capture the Plimpton style.
You're right. It didn't. I thought the jokes were good and they were funny and they were popular actually. But you're right. I missed the hands-on style, the look of a messy hand. And sometimes I'll smear the drawings just to make it more interesting. And it's hard to do that with digital computers.
So you'll be at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland on Friday, August 29th. And the show gets going around 7 p.m. and you're going to stick around afterwards and hand out autographs and drawings.
Yes, yes. And I got DVDs and some books to sell too. So there'll be a lot of stuff to get if you're into Bill Plimpton.
Once again, Bill's new animated film, Slide, is being screened on Friday, August 29th at the Clinton Street Theater, along with the animated short, Duckville. It'll be followed by a reception where Bill will be handing out autographs and drawings.
Yes.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today with cartoonist, filmmaker, and independent animator Bill Plimpton. Bill, thanks as always for joining us.
Yes, no, it's really a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope everybody shows up and says hello to me and watches a beautiful film.
And for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about your films, where would they look?
Plimtoons.com. And that's P-L-Y. Martha's a P-L-I. But I'm PLY. We have a brand new website, and it's really going well. We're selling a lot of stuff, so we hope they can check it out.
Well, we hope that everybody's been enjoying our special programming for KBOO's Out Loud membership drive. Before we go, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this community radio station needs your support. We mentioned already that the billionaire class has succeeded in their efforts to kill off the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but you still have the power to keep the last of our public airwaves out of the hands of the oligarchs. And supporting KBOO Radio is a great start. To become a member of KBOO or to arrange for a donation of any size, please visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Or if you prefer, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture.
Listening to KBOO Portland, listener-supported community radio. Stay tuned for Shocks of Sheba, up next after these headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.